Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Imagine, if you would for a second, that you had a procedure scheduled for the hospital, and you were waiting weeks and weeks, and the day finally came in, and you went in, you had that procedure done, and then you came home, and everything was going well, and you felt fine. And then you received what you thought was a bill for the hospital's services, from the doctors and the nurses and all those other little things they like to charge you for when you go into the hospital. And what if on that bill it said, be advised that you owe nothing, because the doctors and surgeons and the nurses and the hospital itself have all decided that we're not going to charge you for anything that we did. Nothing at all. Sounds pretty improbable, doesn't it? I know it's improbable myself, my own recent experience. But if Saints Cosmas and Damian happened to be your surgeons that day, that is exactly what would have happened, because they are in a category that we call the unmercenary healers. They were well educated. They were well off. They knew the philosophy and the science of their time very well. But yet, they felt that because they were Christians, it was their duty to go and heal people, treat people, without charging a thing. And because of this, not only were they able to treat people, they even treated animals. They were able to heal people through the grace of God. People came to them from all over. This was something that was quite notorious in terms of even back then, when certainly physicians would be expected to get an amount worthy of their services. But yet Cosmas and Damian would have none of it. And so God blessed them greatly. So much so that even after they departed this life, miracles still were happening when people would ask for their intercession. We have a number of unmercenary healers. Cosmas and Damian, Cyrus and John, Panteleimon and Hermolaus are the six that we commemorate at the Proskomedia service for every divine liturgy. But Cosmas and Damian are probably the two that are most well known outside of St. Panteleimon, who's also very well known. And they took what they did very seriously. They knew that because of these great gifts that they were given, that they couldn't dare charge anybody a cent for anything that they did. In fact, there was one instance where St. Damian had gone to a woman and had healed her, and she absolutely insisted that he take a gift, because this was something that was so important to her that she do this. And so he reluctantly took it, and he went back, and St. Cosmas found out about it and was furious at him, absolutely furious. He said, you have fallen now. This is a sin. Look what you've done. In fact, I'm going to see to it that when both of us repose, that I am not buried anywhere near you. This is how seriously these guys took this stuff, okay? Because they were brothers. But yet, St. Cosmas will say, forget it. You know, you've fallen from the pure faith here. Look at the gifts that God has given you, and yet you dare to take this gift from this woman? Well, actually, the Lord appeared to St. Cosmas in a dream and explained to him very carefully that St. Damian felt that he had to do this for the sake of the woman, not for himself. And so Cosmas, after that dream, was relieved and, of course, reconciled with his brother. And then the rest, of course, is history in terms of these two brothers who have become such great examples to all of us. Now, it's interesting that, and providential, I think, that on this day that we are celebrating Saints Cosmas and Damian, we also have this gospel reading from the fourth Sunday of Luke, which talks to us about the story of Lazarus and the rich man. And, of course, we've all heard this story very much. The rich man had everything. Sumptuously dined every night, dressed himself up in the best clothing that he could possibly find, and stepped around poor Lazarus, who was in terrible shape outside his home, just hoping for anything from this rich man to not alleviate only his hunger, but also to alleviate his many wounds that were all over his body. The only physicians that St. Lazarus had were the dogs, who would come in sympathy with him and lick his open sores. It's an awful story when you think about it. It's one that you can really kind of viscerally imagine, this poor guy outside this rich person's home, and yet he gets ignored time and time again. No one ever does anything, but especially this rich guy who, you know, could help Lazarus, could probably support Lazarus for the rest of his life, cure his wounds, give him food, and it wouldn't have made a dent in his budget at all. But yet, on and on he goes. Lazarus, of course, in the end, ended in the bosom of Abraham. And then the rich man was down in hell thinking, well, how stupid was I? You know, Father Abraham, please send someone to touch my tongue with some cold water so that I could be cooled off. And then go and warn my brethren so they won't make the same mistake that I did. Almost reminds me of Marley and Scrooge in this instance. But Abraham said, look, they've got Moses, they've got the prophets, they've got all of this. You know, if they don't listen to them, they're not going to listen to anyone, even if someone was to rise from the dead. Even a little foreshadowing there. But because this story is so profound and visceral, it's something I think that we need to take to heart today also. Because, you know, particularly in this time of the pandemic, this time of COVID everywhere, we see people on the streets, maybe not as many, but they're suffering probably worse than they ever have. They are out there. They are poor. They are destitute. Some are drug addicts. Some have, all kinds of other problems. But yet that's not for us to decide. We have to think, I think, more seriously now during this time about all the troubles that the poor are having. Because believe me, in this church and in every Orthodox church in this city, every single one without exception, the people in those churches are much more akin to the condition of the rich man in the parable than they are to poor Lazarus. There's no doubt about this. There's no doubt about this at all. But yet the poor are still out there and they're still suffering. And sometimes it's difficult to deal with them. I know it is for me. You know, one of the problems these days is that no one seems to carry cash anymore. And, you know, I'm always telling people, you know, keep $5, $10 on you, something like that, that you can give to these people. Because what else can you do? We make up bags of, water and other things to hand to them. And that helps in many instances. But it's something that we need to keep in mind because the poor are still out there. And although we, you know, drive up to a corner, and I know you feel like I've felt many times before, you come up to a stoplight and you see somebody standing there with a sign or asking for money, and immediately you feel uncomfortable. It's something that just kind of strikes us. It's, oh, I've got to deal with this guy, or I don't have anything to give him, and you can't wait till the light turns. Maybe he won't walk up to my car. Maybe I can kind of rush through and get through this and not have to deal with him at all, because they do make us uncomfortable. But you know, the Lord places them there. They are just as valuable, just as loved in his sight as anybody. Anybody. Doesn't matter where they come from, what their problems are. They are loved by our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord places them there for them to strike into our hearts a sense that we should be doing more for them, that we should help them somehow. You know, we give things to the Lawrenceville Co-op here. And that's wonderful. That's a great thing that we're doing in that regard. We've been doing it for all these years now. Ed, I'm not even sure how many years it's been, but it must have been 7 or 8 years we've been doing this now, I think. And that's a great thing. But at the same time, as the fathers of the church are careful to warn us about, there is nothing so rewarding, so gratifying as one-to-one giving. To looking to someone in their eyes, seeing their plight, seeing their pain, seeing their suffering, and trying to alleviate that. That is the best thing that we can do. And of course, again, it's tough now. Everybody's wearing masks, all these sorts of things. Most people driving in cars. I've actually saw one person was not wearing a mask in their car, like most people don't, was afraid to roll down the window to give something to someone. Got to get over those types of fears, because they are destructive for our own souls. You know, the Lord in this parable was showing us that these two sides of the rich and the not rich, you know, they do actually come together. And they come together when the rich, that's all of us, decide that it's our Christian duty, out of love for Jesus Christ, to give to these people that we see that may be Jesus Christ himself. You don't know, but that's all through the Gospels. You never know when you're going to encounter the Lord. Of course, if you encounter any human being, you're encountering the image and likeness of God in that person. But some of these people may actually be the Lord Jesus Christ. And on that great day of judgment, which is going to come for all of us, we don't want the Lord leaning over to us and saying, you know, you rolled your window up. You rolled it up. You didn't give me anything. I was standing there and you didn't give me anything. And so it's important as Christians to keep this in mind, my dear brothers and sisters. And I know many of you do, but if you're like me, and hopefully most of you are not, but if you are like me, you are failing all the time at these sorts of things. We get so self-centered, so self-contained, so self-obsessed, particularly during times like this, when there's so much going on to worry about, it seems like, and we forget about those outside of ourselves. But the quickest way on the path to holiness and sanctity, no matter what your own situation is, no matter how poor you are, how bad you're feeling, whatever the problems you have, is to get outside of yourself and reach out to someone else. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's when that great degree of holiness comes down from heaven and just washes you over. That's what the goal is. And so let's remember that in this wonderful, wonderful day of Cosmas and Damian, and this wonderful parable of the rich man and Lazarus, and also the wonderful, because I can't leave it out because it's my favorite passage, the wonderful passage of St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 when he talks about love and how important that is. And no matter what we do, if we don't have love, we are but clanging cymbals, noisy gongs, etc., etc. We're useless. It doesn't matter if that love isn't there. But it's a two-way street, because as you'll find out, if you don't have that love and you make the effort to reach out to someone else, that love will start to grow in you until finally you come to a point where you have so much love for another person, so much love for our Lord Jesus Christ, that you just can't wait to do something for someone else. Keep Cosmas and Damian in mind this day, that they took everything they had, everything, and they were loaded up with many, many rich gifts and many, many things about them that other people would even envy, and yet they gave it away all freely. Our Lord Jesus Christ calls us to do nothing less. Amen.